Thank you, Yushanda, for that wonderful message. I'm sure if you're anything like me, I've been madly taking notes, and we have a lot to kind of ponder and a lot of things to bring up in our breakout sessions. So I'm going to encourage you now, when we come back after lunch and go into our breakout sessions, that you speak up and share your thoughts and your questions and your ideas, because we're going to be recording all of that, and we're going to kind of get all of this together, and when this Ladies' Day is over, I'm going to put it all together in a report, and I will be sending it on back to your churches and to you so that you can all share the ideas that we have. So I will encourage you to speak up and share with us. Well, our final speaker is Mrs. Andrea Carter, and once again, following along with Proverbs 31, since her husband Mike is one of our beloved elders here at the Mount Dora Church. When I think of Andrea, I think of her husband is respected at the gates of the city, where he takes his seat among the elders. And we all know that the wives of the elders have such a great role in encouraging and helping them to do their jobs. Miss Andrea Carter.
I think I'm on. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. It is so wonderful having all of you here this morning, coming out on a beautiful sunshiny morning, and I know the heat's rising, but it's still cool in here, so I'm glad you're here. If women can, why not? That was the topic, that was the title that I was given for my lesson. What does that lesson title bring to mind? Well, for me, my mind traveled back to when I was a child. I have a brother that's 13 months younger than me, and he could do almost anything. There were things we all did together, and back in the day, you know, you were able to ride your bikes all over the neighborhood, walk down to the creek, you know, go fishing, do all kinds of stuff, and your mom didn't know where you were exactly, and you were free. But there were some things that he was able to do that I wasn't able to do. And so I was, why? Why can't, I'm older than he is. Why can't I do this? And my parents just said, because you're a girl and he's a boy. And that was it. That was their answer. That was it. That settled it. And I still kind of went, I'm sure we've all had experiences like that, things that we could not do, things that we wished we could do. But in the church, sisters, trust me, there are plenty of things that we can do. So now, as women in the world, the fight for equal rights, Pat went through that. I loved her lesson, the history lesson. I knew I could expect that from her, and I was so grateful that she brought us through that history. But women fighting for equal rights, we want to do everything a man can do. Then we're going to have the hardships the men have too, right? We want all that. What price is our church paying for that? What price are our families paying? Because we want things like the men have. What are we passing down to future generations? As Yushanda was speaking, what are we modeling when we don't even mean to model things to our children? Those unspoken things, those attitudes, those, you know, whatever, body language. What are we modeling to our children? When she was talking about the devotional, that the dog, the mother dog, that her puppies were walking like she was, it reminded me, I had a grandmother that her hip, she had some dysfunction in her hip where she kind of waddled when she walked, and I had a little cousin that was, you know, about 8 years younger than myself, that all of a sudden one day we saw her following grandma walking like that. So I couldn't help but think of my cousin Leah. This morning, Sarah directed our thoughts by giving us an introduction, getting down to the basics, the foundational truths. What does the Bible say? Then Pat explored with us that wonderful history lesson, today's culture and changing roles, in accord or opposition to God's plan. And I think we can all agree these changing roles are in opposition to God's plan. We just heard Yushanda address spiritual headship, and I love the, let's think about this. That is so important that we sit back and think about some of the things. Why do we want to do these things? So now we're going to tackle this lesson that just screams, but Lord, why not? Why not me? I'd like to begin with prayer. Oh, Father God, we praise you for being the only true God. We praise you for being sovereign over all and that you are present in our lives. Help us to slow down and be still, looking for your truths, seeking your kingdom first, seeking your will for our lives. Let your will, not ours, be done. Open our hearts and minds as we continue to study your word. Allow the soil of our hearts to be fertile. Father, as I share with my sisters this morning, allow me to speak from your word. Guide me with your precious Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. I want to begin by thanking the committee for just asking me to speak. There have been many family situations that I've had with my elderly parents, and I just embraced the opportunity to be able to focus on something else for a little bit, to really be excited about being able to share with you truths from God's word. So again, I just thank you. I also want to thank two men, John W. Smith and F. Lagarde Smith. I've read portions of both of their books. One of them, John Smith, wrote Restoration Church and the Role of Women. And then F. Lagarde Smith wrote Male Spiritual Leadership. And I've read portions of both of those books. Now I want to go back and read them cover to cover. I was kind of just concentrating on my topic for this morning. But there were great, great truths in their words, great biblical truths in their words, the insight that I gained from that. So some of what you'll be hearing today is things that made me think a little bit, and some of their expressions. Let's start in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. And this is, I want to just get us back to where we're thinking about Christ and his humility. Begins by saying, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something. And this was an NIV version, and I'd not heard this these next few words quite this way before. But again, I'll go back. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. And I thought, huh. Now, the ESV, and what I'm more common with, is equality with God, not a thing to be grasped, is how I've more times read that. But not considering equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. That made me think, am I trying to use my equality with men to my own advantage, that I should be equal? Okay, we'll go on in verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What is our motive? Why, when we say, why can't we do this? When we're wanting to take roles away from men, or just we're feeling like they're not stepping up quick enough, Why do we? What is our motive? What is the attitude in our hearts? Is it that of Christ Jesus? Are we humbling ourselves? Are we realizing, as Sarah pointed out, and Pat pointed out, and Yashonda pointed out, that's not our role. What is our role? 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, Jesus and God are both part of the Godhead. I think we can agree on that. They're both equally divine. And yet, Christ is submissive to God the Father because the head of Christ is God. Jesus and God the Father have different roles in God's plan of salvation, just as men and women have different roles. Do you see? And again, it was pointed out, and I will reemphasize to you, it's not a lesser role. We're here to be a helpmate. We are here to help. We are here to complement. And I loved how Sarah pointed out God is our helper. We don't think that's degrading or demeaning, right? I just appreciate so much that she pointed that out and that we can continually reemphasize these important points. Our roles in the kingdom are different. Spiritual headship is not an award or certificate of merit, or it's not a all boys club, let's, you know, do it this way kind of thing. It's not about that. That spiritual headship is so important to the very foundations of our families, to the very foundations of Christ's church. It's not a dictatorship. You know, you think of Christ, how he loved the church. He loves the church. God loves us. God sent his only son to die for us. Christ died for us. He went through the abuse. He loves us. It's not a dictatorship, and our men should not be running it as a dictatorship. And I am sorry for in any situation where that may seem that that's happening. But sisters, we can transform the way we think about things too, and how we see. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. The men, F. Ligard Smith states in his book, Male Spiritual Leadership, that men may be put in positions of functional leadership, okay? Functional leadership because they are less inclined to be spiritual than women. So they're put in these functional roles, you know, taking care of the duties of the church, taking care of how to worship, you know, so on and so forth, the classes, the being sure to shepherd the flock, right? Those functional roles, because they are less inclined to be spiritual than women, because women are more naturally, you know, spiritually oriented. You know, we seek relationships. We like to talk about feelings, don't we? Not a lot of men like to talk about feelings. You know, we love to be able to express those deep emotions that we have, and we want to find relationships that we can express how we feel and have someone express back. So we're longing for that. Well, God thrust the men into these leadership roles so that they could maintain spiritual strength through ongoing exercise of spiritual responsibility. I mean, you think of, and I'm not just talking about elders, deacons, and preachers. All of the men are in spiritual leadership. All of the men have that responsibility, and they need to exercise that. They need to strive for that. You know, I remember back in the day, I did go to Jazzercise back in the early 80s and loved it. But I can remember the Jazzercise instructor would say, you know, I have to do this like 100% more than what I'm expecting to get out of you just to, for you to get up, you know, to a certain level. And not just me, it was everybody. But you know, they have to overemphasize. Well, I don't think we can ever overemphasize the Word of God, right? That our men need to be leading us. Our men need to be exercising those spiritual qualities. They need to be exercising praying, reading scripture, staying in God's word to encourage us as a body. Now, I'm sure you all agree that when you're preparing to teach a class, that you probably learn more than your students are learning because you're trying to anticipate questions that are going to be asked. You want to be ready for those questions. And if you don't know the answers, then you're going to be delving into it more. So next time you come back, you can address those questions. You want to give the people, you want to feed the sheep in your classroom setting. Or your children, that ministry of your children. Or mentoring other women in a group setting at home. So you know that. So men, by taking on these leadership roles, They are growing. They are anticipating. If we come in there and want to take those roles away, we're hurting them spiritually. That is not our place. Our place, again, is to be a helpmate. God calls men to teach so that they might learn. He calls them to lead so they might become better followers, to be the head so they can be better members of the body. Their active involvement at all levels strengthens not only the men, but it strengthens all of us and the coming generation. An interesting point regarding Bible study, and this F. Lagarde had stated this in his book. Now, he is the one, I don't know if you've ever read it, but I love it, his chronological Bible that he's compiled with the little devotional thoughts in there and history lessons and everything else. It's just great. But he, in preparing that, he noticed that women tend to study the Bible. They will read it more cover to cover and explore what a relationship with God's about. That's more what women are looking at, thinking about that relationship. How do I fit into God's plan? What is God saying about this? I mean, you're looking, you're seeking for his relationship. And if you read the Bible cover to cover, year after year, you know, what I love is the Word of God is living and active, right? Sharper than any double-edged sword. Okay, it's penetrating into our hearts. And each year you read that, it's growing and growing and growing. And you're growing and you're seeing deeper spiritual truths. And sisters, let's not keep those to ourselves. Let's share those. Let's encourage each other with those spiritual truths. Okay, so that's the way women look at the Bible. Now, men tend to study the Bible, and they'll choose different parts. And I'm not saying this right, wrong. I'm just saying what F. Lagarde said. You know, they will choose a topic maybe. They'll choose a book. They will pick it apart more academically than a woman will. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions in both cases. But that was what he had found after he got some responses from the chronological Bible that he compiled. Sisters, before we get too puffed up that we're more spiritually oriented, trust me, we do not have it all together, right? We do not. He has created us differently. He has created us uniquely. He has blessed men with many, many strengths. Many strengths. He has blessed us with many strengths. And one of those is we long for the relational part of that connection with God. We think about God the Father. We think about Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit that indwells within each of us. We love thinking about those things. God has created us both in his image. With the spirituality, as we saw in the case of Eve, you know, she was more trusting of things. She was trusting of the serpent. Right? She was trusting of Satan. She was easily deceived. You know, God didn't say they couldn't touch it or they were going to die, but she was being fed things. She was listening. And part of that seeking and that trusting that we as women have, and us longing for a relationship, I mean, I don't know, maybe Adam wasn't talking to her enough and she started talking to the serpent. I don't know. That makes me go, She's longing for something. And then when she thinks, oh, I can know more. I can understand truth. I can be as wise as God. That would be a good thing, wouldn't it? I mean, we're spiritual people. That's a good thing. She was deceived. And we can be deceived sometimes too by listening to culture, listening to the ways of this world. Thinking that we can have it all, and we do. I believe I do have it all. I have immeasurably more in the Lord. But I don't need to take it from men. Adam failed by not protecting Eve. You know, he was there with her, and he failed by not protecting her. And as Sarah pointed out, you know, man is now to rule over woman. You know, woman is the weaker partner. And there's nothing wrong with that either, as has been stated. It's a beautiful thing. We are helping. We are complimenting. And it's nice to have that respect shown. It's nice to have people open the doors and, You know, the way the men do show gentleness and kindness towards a woman. I don't want to be like, you know, the other guy down the street. And no, I'm not. I want to be treated as a woman. I want to be respected as a woman and a sister in Christ. And I need to respect my brothers in Christ and men. I love the statement of F. Legard Smith that he said, in all the unofficial ways which, in which they serve, Christian women provide the locomotion for the kingdom, while God put men in the home and the church as rails which keep that spiritual energy on track and guide it safely in the bounds of Scripture. I love it. Isn't that descriptive? I mean, oh my goodness. You know, we got all this energy. We're moving. We're doing 101 things. You think about Martha, you know. Martha be back here in the kitchen right now getting lunch ready, but our committee has got the men back there, so yay. But Martha, you know, she was constantly moving. That's another thought that's come to my mind. If we were in charge of the worship service, I don't think we would calm down. I think we would be constantly. We would be thinking about all different things. We would be, oh no, look what Susie wore. Why did she do that? You know, no. There would be so many things that we would be thinking about that it would be taking our focus off God. So all those little details that Martha was thinking about, you know, let's put that in here in the worship service and think. Who chose what was better? Mary, right? Sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary chose what was better. And not just because she was a woman. That's better for men, too. But I think men can be laid back a little. You know, they're not going to let some of the things that we'd worry us, you know. So important. God isn't saying that we cannot lead, but it's the where and the when, right? The where and the when. There are plenty of areas that we are able to lead in and should be leading in. God calls us all to be ambassadors of reconciliation in this dark world. That's for all of us. That's not just for some. That's not just for evangelists. That's not just for Bible talk leaders or Sunday school teachers or, you know, deacons or elders. No, that is for every one of us. Men are called to be elders. 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 7, you know, it talks about they must be able to manage their households well. They must lead them spiritually. They love and serve as Christ loves the church. Christ loves the church. He died for us. Our men need to be, you know, continue to be growing spiritually where they are showing that love, you know. And if we let them grow, if we let them do what they need to do and not pick at things, they will grow. And there's another key, which we will talk about in just a few minutes. For those of you who are the wife of an elder, you are one with your husband. All of you are one with your husband, but I'm talking specifically now to elders' wives. He counts on you, and he should count on you to help shepherd the flock. He cannot do it alone. That was one of the qualifications for an elder, to have a wife, right? One wife. That is a qualification. Have a household, be able to raise. I mean, because you can imagine, a congregation is much like a bunch of children. And you're trying to raise, and all different personalities. And all, you know, we only had two children, but both of them were different. Both of them had their own unique ideas about things. So he needs to be able to manage well. Now, the husband of an elder, the husband of a preacher, and those in those leadership roles that we see, they obviously see, those wives are there helping them. And I hope that you are able to see that those wives are helping them. Mike and I, we work together in this ministry. We study the Bible and pray together every morning before we leave for work. We hold each other accountable for our individual daily Bible readings. Not in an ugly way, but we help each other. I'm his helpmate, remember? We encourage each other. We're holding each other accountable for those things. Mike respects my thoughts. He asks my opinion. He counts on me, especially for dealing with the women in the congregation. He wants me to be able to get a feel for what's going on. He wants me to be able to communicate. And I thought that was so, I guess that was in Pat's lesson with Mike Pence. Yeah, that is so key. A man does not, I'm going to say it, a man does not need to be studying the Bible alone with a woman. I'm going to say it again, sisters. A man does not need to be studying the Bible alone with a woman. We need to raise ourselves up. If you're not prepared to study the Bible with somebody, you need to get yourself there. Men do not need to be doing that. Men do not need to be put in those counseling situations. You know, that's for the elder's wife or the preacher's wife or, you know, just John and Susie. They're studying the Bible with somebody. You're bringing both in. You know, you're talking, you're reading the Bible, reading the Bible with another couple. You're studying, you're working together. That's what it's about. But if we do not take control of the women and really start leading our women, think about it. You know, I was 27 years old when I was baptized into the Lord. And I had two women that were studying the Bible with me. That was a very, very close relationship that I had with these two women. One of them became my future roommate. And I was very close to them. And I'd go to them when I was struggling with anything. It's a very intimate spiritual relationship that you have. Sisters, don't put your husbands, whether they be elders, preachers, or not, don't put your husbands in that position. And so I think, you know, Mike Pence, that was right. No, he's not going to have a meal out with another woman without his wife present. There are reasons for those things. But the relationships that we develop, I think it's key that we do train our younger women, you know, at an early age to be studying the Bible with other women. One great thing to do is when you are studying the Bible, for those of you that feel comfortable with that, bring someone else in on that study. Don't hoard it to yourself. You know, this is my person, and I'm studying the Bible with her. No, bring someone else in. Mentor. We need to be doing more of mentoring. God has a plan for all of us. I love the verse in Proverbs 31. It was verse 11. It says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain." I believe that all women are leaders in God's kingdom. We all have such a great responsibility to shine like stars in this dark universe. We as women need to be prepared constantly. You know, whether we're in the mood or not, we need to be prepared in season and out of season. Titus 2 talks about teaching and mentoring the younger women, teaching them to love their husbands. That's so important. Teaching younger women to love their husbands. And that's not a romantic love we're talking about, you know. I hope that's there. But what that love is that's that commitment. That's, I'm looking after his welfare. I was created to be his helpmate. I care about what's important for him, what God's plan for him is. Just as Abigail was looking at, you know, her husband, looking out for his welfare and for the welfare of all the people, so war would not break out, she took action. Let us look after the welfare of our husbands and love them in that way. What our men need from us is for us to encourage them and respect them in the Lord. We need to be growing spiritually ourselves, always hungering and thirsting for God's word, staying in communication with God through prayer and in being still and just knowing that he is God and I am not. I asked that Valerie lead Trust and Obey, you know, before I spoke. And I was reading through all the verses last night, and the verse that jumped out at me the most was verse 4. "But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay." You know, that just brought to mind surrendering, laying it all on the altar. We never can prove the delights of his love. "For the favor he shows, for the joy we have in Christ, he bestows, are for all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The world may teach us to go for it. You have the right. Well, after all, the corporate world, look at them. Look, you don't even have to look at the corporate world. Just look at the world. God's kingdom appears backward to those who do not seek his kingdom first. Remember, the first century church turned the world upside down. Our God is not a God of chaos, but he is a God of order. He has a plan for us, as stated in Jeremiah 29:11. And I don't believe that was just for that time or those people. I do believe, because God is the same yesterday as he is today, and he will be tomorrow. He does have a plan for us individually, and he has a plan for us as a people. Remember, God knows the number of hairs on your head. He thinks about us individually. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Sisters, you may very well be able to do it better than your brother, but that's not your role. God created us to be man's helper. Remember, man was created for God, but woman to be man's helper. Let's help our brothers in Christ by encouraging them, allowing them to lead, showing them respect. Let's not only do that, but let's pray for our brothers. Let's pray for our brothers and pray that we see Christ in them. We may not agree with every decision made. You know, you get any two or three people together and you're not necessarily going to get agreement, whether it's women, men. But we need to respect and love them as Christ loves us. You know, we are in submission to each other, as has been pointed out earlier. I love, too, the 1 Peter 3:1-7, where it talks about wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. You know, that is talking to wives, but it's not just wives. You think of in the church, you're submitting yourself to your brothers as well. And that is so key that it doesn't have to be the words we're saying, but it's without words, by the behavior. It's that gentle and quiet spirit. It's that inner strength. Do we pray about our inner strength? Pray that the Holy Spirit gives us the strength we need? Are we using that beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit? That will help us get through so many situations, trusting. And that was why I chose the song Trust and Obey, because we need to trust and obey. It's simple as that. As women, God has blessed us with a gift of nurturing. You know, we are so blessed because we are natural nurturers. We love to take care of things. We want people to feel welcome. We're caring about the children. You know, all the children of the congregation are your children. All the people are your brothers and sisters. So that nurturing, beautiful quality that God has blessed us with, let us edify the entire body of Christ with this precious gift. Let the fruit of the Holy Spirit fill us to overflowing as we continue to serve our Lord. Thank you.